You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
It is 9:04. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio. Weather, we're at 48 degrees in Flemington. It's overcast skies, but it's going to be raining today. Cloudy with periods of rain and a high of 57. Winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 100%. Rainfall, rainfall around a half an inch. Cloudy skies and a low of 42 tonight. Sunshine and clouds mix tomorrow with a high of 48. Yeah, it is December, folks. Except for a few afternoon clouds on Saturday, mainly sunny and a high of 43. Sunny skies and 46 on Sunday. Monday, mostly cloudy, 54. And Tuesday, a overcast skies, rain showers at times, 56. Early reports for the big guy coming on in. He's going to be coming in a swimsuit. It's 66 degrees at Christmas. Temperatures in our area, 48 in Raritan, 47 at the county complex, 50 in Tewksbury, 48 up in Phillipsburg, 48 in Lambertville, 48 in Ringo's. Good morning, Hunterdon. That is Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. To Good Morning Hunter and Huntshipper.com. It's got my guests here from Raritan Valley Community College talking about a really cool program called Teach to Matter. This is going to be a really interesting show, and I'm going to tell you why right now.
And we're live here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and you're just listening to a Good Morning Hunterdon Rewind. Our guests from the Hunterdon Medical Center weren't here today, taking a nice little holiday break. But I'm here with you today. We have a show. We're going to be talking and hopefully telling you some things you might not know about movies in New Jersey. And actually, we're going to be discussing how the film industry is a viable alternative to stimulating the economy and bringing some jobs in. So I hope you'll all be able to stay with me today. I'll have a caller who's going to be able to talk about their experience in the film industry and perhaps about a bill that has recently been sponsored. So stay with us.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And this is Georgine Trinkle, your host at Hot and Hunterdon, and we have to start out with a quote, and we always try to be relevant here. So since we're talking about filmmaking in New Jersey today, we have some quotes. They're supposed to be from the website that I have here. They are supposed to be the most famous quotes of film. So I'm going to give a few, and I'm not going to say which movies they're from. And maybe I'll give a couple clues what year the movie or film was from. And we'll see if we have anyone who wants to call in and talk a little bit about, make a guess, an educated guess on where these quotes might have originated from. So we have, I'm going to pick a few out here. Let's see. Let's do this one. Look, it's moving. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. So that's from a film in 1931. So we'll see if anyone might know where that famous quote is from. I'll let you all ponder that while I take a look at the weather. And I have to, and I'm going to have a very noisy jacket on today, so I'm going to take that off while we get to the weather here. And I have to say, when I went to get into my car to travel over here to the beautiful Hunterdon Chamber office in Flemington, New Jersey, I thought to myself, it feels like snow. And then when I was in the parking lot getting myself together to come into the office and to see Laura, I felt sleet on my face, and I was not happy about that at all. And I am less happy to see a hazardous weather condition that's up on my screen. So what you have right now is a 41 degree temperature. There is a little bit of sleet falling here in Flemington, and it says really between 8 p.m. and midnight is the chance of rain and sleet. But as I said, I did experience that a little bit earlier. Today's December 28th, and it was just before 4 o'clock when I felt the sleet upon my cheek. We're looking at a low of around 34 this evening. And then tomorrow is the day everyone's been talking about or making up some weather. And they're saying that there may be some rain before noon and then some showers between noon and 4. But we are looking at a high near 48. So you may wake up with some wintry conditions, but they should go away by morning. I would say by 9 o'clock, we should be in the clear. And then Tuesday night, we have a low of around 38. And the rest of the week, I like to look at my picture icon. So Wednesday is partly sunny, and then maybe some showers with a high of 52. Thursday and Friday are beautiful days. Thursday's mostly sunny and a high of 50. So I declare a beach day. And New Year's Day, which of course is Friday, we have mostly sunny skies with a high of 41. So it looks like a good night for New Year's Eve, a low of around 31 on Thursday evening for New Year's Eve. So I think you can go into the city or do whatever you'd like. It's looking pretty good, I think. We're going to take a commercial break and then we'll be back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, and we're back. We're going to do one more commercial, and then we're going to get our caller on.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
And here we are. I'm going to give another movie clue, and then we're going to be joined by our caller here. So we're talking about film industry and film industry in New Jersey, and I'm giving out quotes here, and we'll see if anyone wants to call in, remembering perhaps where these quotes were from. So we're going to do one more top famous movie quotes and see if anyone can guess where they're from. So I don't want to go too easy on anyone here. I want to give a little bit of a challenge. So let's go with this one. I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you came home. So we'll see if anyone knows where that one might be from. And I will see how my technology skills are here today in the studio. Let's see. Am I joined on air with my caller?
Yes. Hello. How are you doing, Jay?
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. So we can hear you. And thanks for calling in on a landline. If you could introduce yourself, I sure would appreciate it.
No problem, Jay. I'm Jay Michael Barron, and I am a resident here in Clifton, New Jersey. And I'm one of the people here who you know very, very well. If you don't mind my telling your listeners, I'm your brother-in-law. Am I allowed to do that, or am I not allowed to do that?
Well, you are allowed, and you just did it, and we're live here on the internet radio. So whatever you say, I don't have my finger right on your cutoff switch, so there's no 30-second delay here.
No problem. I'm not going to be like some of the people on Saturday Night Live who mouth bad things, so you don't have to worry about with me, James.
And because we're on radio, I don't have to worry about you taking your I forget, I think it was a famous football halftime show with Janet Jackson when she was disrobing, right?
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about that with me.
Now, did you know where the quote was that I don't know if you could hear during the break? I was reading a famous quote. I wasn't sure if you caught that or knew which film that was from.
Well, I really don't know which film. It sounds like to me it probably would be if it was a dancing movie, it would have to either be Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, or possibility being Gene Kelly and Sid Charisse. Those are the only two that I can think of because they're the most famous dance pairs, although you could also have... Miss Powell, Eleanor Powell too, could be included in that gang of four, but making it a gang of five, of course. But that would be those would be my guess as far as who people that were involved in the particular film, as far as the movie, the quote, or where it came from. Unfortunately, I'm at a loss for words.
Well, you're okay because you're in good company, and I'm going to see if anyone calls in. Otherwise, I will give the answer towards the end of our show. But I want to thank you, Michael, so much for calling in and to talk to us about your experience in the film industry and about film in New Jersey and how that's a viable option and opportunity to help promote jobs and economic development. And a few people, I had put something out on Facebook yesterday, and a few people were surprised to find out that New Jersey was actually the movie industry's home, because this is where motion pictures were actually invented.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, the Fort Lee Film Commission this past month and this past year has been celebrating the 100th anniversary of William Fox's opening of the Fox Studios in Fort Lee, Fort Lee, New Jersey. Of course, Fort Lee is the birthplace of the modern American film industry. Now, there were movies being made, of course, in New York, and there were also movies being made in Europe, but they did not have the kind of draw power or production values that the Americans had back in the early part of the 20th century. And that's because most of the people who were involved in the film industry, or the beginning of the film industry, were theater people. People like Ziegfeld, and people like Selznick and Sellner and Marcus Lowe, and those individuals who went on to basically, they saw movies as a way of creating some sort of cheap, you know, a small amount of entertainment between live shows. And so they sought out the ideas of film producers and filmmakers, and they were taking people like D.W. Griffith, Cecil B. DeMille, the Barrymore family, and these individuals who would be interested in going out and actually producing these movies. And a good number of them were filmed in and around New York, but because the cost of labor and the cost of doing business and the fact that it was just very difficult to get a nice quiet place to where you can control the sound and lighting as much as you could, they went across the Hudson River and found that Fort Lee was a good area to be because it wasn't that well built up then. It was still a very small town. Bergen County was still a farm, in many ways was a farm community. In fact, a lot of the early Westerns were not shot out in the West, in Arizona, like they were during in the 30s and 40s. They were actually shot in the Meadowlands, where Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium would be. One of the earliest movies, the Birth of a Nation, in fact, was not only filmed in New Jersey, but it was also filmed in different parts of the country. They were filmed, parts, scenes were shot in Georgia, some scenes were shot in Tennessee, but most of the movie itself was actually shot in and around Fort Lee. But you had all the film studios. You had Fox Studios, you had Universal, you had you had Paramount, famous Player Studios. You had all these companies that basically used the area in around Fort Lee and Englewood Cliffs to shoot their movies. And I mentioned one little town, that's Englewood Cliffs, and of course that's where the George Washington Bridge is located. But before the bridge was actually built, they had these humongous cliffs off the Palisades, which is where they would shoot what they called one-reelers. These were 10-minute movies that were shot all on one reel of film because at that time it was just too expensive to shoot anything beyond 10 minutes. And they would shoot serials and other short stories, but of course the damsel in distress type movies became very popular in the early 1900s, and you had actresses like Pearl White who played the role of Pauline from The Perils of Pauline, and there might be a scene where she's trying to climb up on a rope on cliffs of Inglewood with the Palisades, and the movie's cameras are being jutted out and platforms so they can see her crawling up, and they have the villain sitting there trying to cut the rope, and the next thing you know, you get a title card that says, come back next week to find out what happens, and that's where they get the term cliffhanger from. So a lot of these movies were shot, early days, were shot in around Fort Lee. In fact, today you can take a drive and take a tour of Fort Lee, and you still see some of the old buildings that are still left. The water tower, what used to be Universal Studios, before Carl LeMay bought it and took it out west to Southern California, is still there. There's still some of the glass house type buildings from the Solex and from the Universal movie, from the Fox Film Studio, still located on Route 9W, just past, right before you get to the George Washington Bridge. There's a little shopping mall there, strip mall, but you just go to the left of that, and you'll see a plaque that says Solex Movie Studio, and you'll still see one of the old buildings that was built in the early 20th century still there, and it's still being used as a warehouse. And there's quite a bit of film history in the city. They find movie canisters all the time. About 10, 15 years ago, they were looking for the lost episodes of the Honeymooners. And they went into a building location in Englewood Cliffs, and they found these canisters, these oil cans. And so they called hazmat because, you know, they don't know what's filled with them. And as they were opening one up, they found these film canisters marked CBS that had once somehow been dumped in Englewood Cliffs back in the early 1950s or mid-1950s, and they were the last episodes from the Honeymooners. And so they had to, of course, get them restored. They had to digitize them because they were in barely bad shape. But this thing, this goes on all the time. Film buffs and film historians are always finding old canisters of movies somewhere in New Jersey or in up parts of New York, because this is pretty much where they could store these movies right after they were first shown, or TV shows when they were first shown on network television as kinescopes. Once the kinescope was done, they pack it up and stick it in a warehouse, and that's where it sat for, you know, 50, 60 years.
It's a shame, Michael, so much of the history of New Jersey, there's so many nuances to the history, if it's film or if it's the Revolutionary War, and I feel like we just don't do a great job as historians to such a great industry. I'm going to ask you to stay with me. I have to pay my bills. I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be back.
All right, no problem, Jane.
All right, great. Everyone, we'll be back and talking more about the film industry in New Jersey and about theater and drama and all this history that You may not know. So Michael did give away our little teaser we had on Facebook when the cliffhanger is because of the film industry in New Jersey and Englewood Cliff. So stay with us. We'll be back to talk more about some of the history that we are unaware of.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. Today is December 28th, and today we're joined by John Michael Barron, and we're talking about the film industry in New Jersey, and I hope we're going to get a chance to talk a little bit more also about Michael Barron's experience in both in film and the movie industry and in the different recreational and other social ways and economic ways that the film industry is really important to New Jersey, not forgetting our strong history that before Hollywood, it was actually New Jersey, that here we are here in New Jersey with such great history and so few people know about it. Are you back with us, Michael?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Excellent. So I think do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about maybe your last experience in the movie industry? You had a shot in a series recently.
Well, basically, the industry has changed itself because of the rise of cable television and also online and things that are streaming. But a good amount of work is coming out of the area through what we call reenactment shows. And these are a lot of the shows that you might find on Investigation Discovery or Lifetime or the Learning Channel. And these are shows where they take famous crimes, scenes, or cases that have been tried in the past, but say 5-10 years. And so I was in a couple of those shows. One was called Perfect Murder. In fact, it was the very first episode of the series that was filmed by Kevin Kaufman's Kaufman Productions for Investigation Discovery, and the story about Phil Jones and his wife, how they plotted to have their son-in-law killed. They shot him when he stepped outside of his house in Northern California to pick up a plant that somebody had left for him, and he was basically assassinated. And when they did the case, at first they were going to blame the wife, blame the daughter, because they thought it was the daughter who had plotted it. But after they did some DNA investigations and checked into it, they found out it was the wife and the husband who plotted to have this boy killed. And so I played the role of the father who had actually done the murder. And then there was a trial scene where I'm in a wheelchair because the guy was actually dying from emphysema. And he never did survive long enough to serve his crime. He died in prison. And then I think also the mother did, too. I mean, she died. The only person who did survive was the daughter. She spent, like, about 3 years in prison. And then she went after. She was trying to get custody of the small child that had been born between the father and the late husband and herself, who was in the custody of her in-laws. And she was going to go to court to try to get full custody. And then about a year later, I was in a production called A Crime to Remember, which was also on Investigation Discovery. And this was about, this particular episode was about the guy in 1966 who climbed the University of Texas bell tower and is really one of the first sniper terrorist activities to occur on a college campus in American history. And he shot and killed about 12 or 13 people back in 1966. And I portrayed the role of the college psychiatrist who had been treating him and found out that, you know, he had all these issues, anger issues, and these criminal psychopathic issues, but he did nothing to release that information, mainly because, you know, at that time the patient-doctor silence protocol was pretty much, confidentiality laws were pretty much in effect, but he was still ostracized by not only the community around Texas, but also by the medical profession for not giving out that information. And things have changed, of course, since then. But I played those roles. And then these are things that I've done lately in the last 3 or 4 years because the work is relatively available. You don't need an agent to get it. You can basically find the jobs online. And what they're looking for are people that can actually act very quickly and learn a role or two in a couple of days and who actually have some sort of physical resemblance to the people that they're portraying. So it's not like a lot of acting work in it, but it's still good work, and it's things to do, and then things that you can do to, you know, to get some film credits to your name. And it's a good way for someone who's been out of the business for a while, like I have, or someone who's just getting started to get some credits, because it's actually good work, and people do watch it. People in the industry do watch these things.
Absolutely.
As well as a lot of people, because the actual network itself is probably one of the highest rated networks on cable today. But before that, I also did work in Atlanta back in the mid-80s and early 90s, because Atlanta at that time, and the state of Georgia, in fact, is one of the largest film production states in the industry. It's actually number three between New York and Los Angeles. And then before that, I spent time in Los Angeles back in the late 70s and early 80s working on soap operas like General Hospital and being on commercials and films, those small pilots that were being shot. So, you know, whatever was available that my agents felt I was right for, I would read for. And, you know, if I was lucky enough to get a job, I got a job. You know, otherwise I was out there going back to work and doing what I was doing, either working in a restaurant or working in a answering service, picking up messages for other actors.
Well, Michael, that's pretty. I know your last two series were great. And with the streaming, as you started out talking about, really television has changed and movie industry has changed and access to movies and series are so different now. So it's opened up a lot of different things. And in New Jersey, if you go on the state website, they have the New Jersey filmography, and they have different things that have been shot in New Jersey. And I know there's some tax incentives and credits that are available, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the hour about a pending bill, but if you look at it's very erratic, really. Like, you'll have in 2013, there seemed like there were probably 25 or 30 movies that were produced in some part of New Jersey, and in 2015 there's only 3 listed. So I don't know if the website master is sleeping or if, you know, they're just not shooting as much in New Jersey as they have in the past.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You absolutely, and what you alluded to just a few moments before, as far as production credits, is pretty much what the industry is looking for when they leave and are looking for a film. Because when a motion picture, I mean, first of all, the industry is still based in Los Angeles. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens, whether, you know, you have 500 movies being shot in New Jersey, the deal-making, the decision-making is still going on. In some aspects, it's going on in New York, but majority of it's still going on in Southern California and Los Angeles and Hollywood. Because that's where all the deal makers are, that's where all the lawyers, that's where all the corporations that own the movie businesses, that's where they're based. So what they're looking for, if they're going to shoot a movie on location, they're going to look for a state, one where they can go in and get everything done in one stop. They don't have to go to 15 different places like they used to in Los Angeles. Because back in the 50s and 60s, they shot television shows were all overshot all over Los Angeles. The biggest film production company that was doing it was Universal, because they decided early on that movies were not going to be a big money maker for them, so they were going to go right into television, and they were not afraid of doing it. So they had review studios, first of all, and then it became Universal City Studios, and of course it became Universal. But if you take a look at all the shows that were based on or using their facilities, shows like Emergency, Dragnet, McMillan and Wife. They were all shot along Southern California, and pretty soon you could sit there and see stock footage and say, yeah, wasn't that shot? Didn't we see that in Emergency? So, you know, Universal was really big about it, but eventually, you know, they realized they were going to have to go outside to shoot something. And one of the first states to do that successfully was Georgia, because back in 1970, James Dickey had a great book that had been published. And it was winning awards. It was a New York bestseller. And that was Deliverance. And so when they decided they were going to shoot the movie, you know, Warner Brothers said, well, we can do it on the back lot. We can do it on our ranch. But James Dickey made it very clear. He says, no, we're going to shoot it in Georgia. So that's when they decided to take the whole crew from Los Angeles and take it all the way up to a small corner of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia meet, which is the Chattooga River. And they actually set camp there to shoot that movie. And, you know, they wondered, well, how do we get this done? What do we do about places to live? What do we do about hotel space? What are we going to do about trailers? What are we going to do about electricity? What are we going to do about the generators, the portable generators? So what happened is they basically made a phone call to the governor, Governor Carter at that time. They said, this is what we're going to do. And so Governor Carter says, whatever you need, you just let me know. And he assigned a guy to make sure that everything was taken care of for them, everything, including roads, police, whatever they needed, they got done. And the film producers are so impressed with that, they said, my God, we didn't have to go 55 million ways of Sundays. We got it done by making one phone call. So they encouraged Jimmy Carter to start up a film commission to where they could create a one-stop place to go to for whatever the film industry needed. And Jimmy Carter saw that the industry was a very clean industry, wasn't polluting. They came in, they shot the film, they cleaned up after them, and of course the film made millions and millions of dollars. It made Burt Reynolds a star. But it also put George on the map as being a film place. And so starting with Deliverance in 1970, more than one movie after another was all being shot in Georgia, and people were scratching their heads saying, how in the hell are they doing this? And they realized the other states were looking around. They were like North Carolina and Texas. They were like, well, we can do this too. So once Georgia got started, and it took about 10, 15 years for them to do it, North Carolina and Wilmington got it going. Then Florida, of course, took off with the building of Universal Studios in Orlando. But Florida had also been a film place to shoot movies, too, even going way back in the 30s and 40s. MGM created a studio down there when they shot all of the Tarzan movies, the TV shows, and also did the R and a few other things. All those were shot along the area near Silver Springs, Florida. So they had their own little Florida studio as well. But the state saw this as being a way of, one, making money in an economy when manufacturing and farming was going down the tubes. They saw the film industry as coming in as being a clean industry. They were willing to do it. And, of course, the publicity of saying, well, this movie was shot in my backyard was a real draw for people. So starting with Georgia, starting with Florida and North Carolina, the film industry has picked itself up to where these states now are very competitive. And, of course, in the one best way now of doing it, because everybody's got film studios, and just about every state's got a film studio somewhere. The only real way that you can make or break it is by creating these film tax incentives to where, I think it's 75% of the movie is shot with a budget less than $150 million. Bill will give you up to about a 50% tax incentive break on anything from sales taxes, property taxes, estate taxes, payroll taxes, whatever you want, you get a 50% break on it. And so that becomes a real, when you're looking at the bottom line, and anybody who's listening to you understands, if they're a producer or listening in the film industry, they don't know what the below-the-line costs are. And that's all the little things like food catering and security and props and truck rentals and things like that. These are things that are that can really add up the cost of a movie production. So if you can get a tax break to wipe some of those expenses down, it's going to be a lot less. It's going to be cheaper for you to film in Georgia or North Carolina or even in New Jersey than it would be to go somewhere else.
Okay, Michael.
So the tax incentives are very, very important. Just to give you some dollars and cents here, because I know people out there like to talk. Oh, it's great. That's great news, Mike. But what's the nickels and dimes here? $6 billion. $6 billion, was deposited inside the Treasury as of June 30th, 2015, that's the end of the last fiscal year for the state of Georgia, because they're on a fiscal calendar. $6 billion in the Georgia's economy just from the film industry alone. That includes commercials, that includes TV shows, movies, industrials, commercial productions, anything that had to do with film or television or media, which includes computerized media, print media, or digital media, okay? Anything like that that would be under the Georgia Film and Video Commission and is under works in a studio that gets part of this incentive, they put in return for those tax breaks, they put in $6 billion into the Treasury of Georgia.
That's incredible, Michael, and we're going to take a news break, but I'm going to make sure that our listeners understand the significance of what you just said. $6 billion the film industry was able to put in the Georgia revenue for things that funds education and lower property tax and all kinds of things like that. And there's two incentives here in New Jersey. There is, of course, the first one that Michael referenced, which is the federal program that was actually signed into law in 2004 by President George W. Bush. And that was because of some of the great work that was being done in Georgia and other states. And they saw that the film industry is actually a viable way to bring and stimulate the economy, to bring jobs and to create jobs to your state. So we have that National Tax Incentive Program, which was from the American Jobs Creation Act, and those are tax breaks to film and television producers that Michael referenced. And then in New Jersey, we're following a bill we're going to talk a little bit more about after the news break, but in New Jersey, we pale in comparison. So if 60% of the total expenses of a movie production are incurred in New Jersey, and that is exclusive of post-production costs, you can be eligible for the 20% tax credit program for filmmakers in New Jersey, so at least 60% of the total expenses there. And in addition to that, by the time that you get approval for the New Jersey film tax credit, the principal photography of the project must commence within 150 days. So there are some other smaller incentives if you're in an urban enterprise zone. And Michael did mention, which is a very important point, you also have an exemption from sales tax. So these are great ways and a great incentive to bring the film industry back. We're lucky to have Michael, who's able to speak numbers and tell you what that industry could possibly be in New Jersey with the right support from the state. And I know that there's a bill pending from Senator Lesniak, and I'm not sure where we are with that, but we're going to talk more about it. But right now, I absolutely have to pay the bills here, and I know everyone's waiting on the news break. So we'll do a news break, and I think we'll be lucky for Michael to stay with us so we could talk more about how, if we really want to improve the economy, and if we want to bring jobs, and we want to bring exciting industry and new careers for our students and our technical people and our actors, that this is a viable option. Stay with us.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. A grand jury will not indict the Cleveland police officers involved in the Tamir Rice shooting death in 2014. Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Tim McGinty made the announcement.
The grand jury declined to bring criminal charges against Cleveland police officers Timothy Lohman and Frank Garmbeck. That was also my recommendation and that of our office after reviewing the investigation and the law.
Police say the 12-year-old had a real-looking toy gun in his waistband when he was shot by Officer Lohman. Video of the shooting shows Lohman opening fire just seconds after arriving on the scene. McGinty said at the time, Lohman had reason to fear for his life. Dallas County officials say a 1-year-old was among 11 people killed Saturday when several tornadoes tore through North Texas. The baby and seven others were killed when an EF4 Twister flipped a number of cars on Interstate 30 near Garland. This is USA Radio News.
B-Dubs presents B-Dubbing.
All right, they're up by 21, but now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to
buy a holiday gift card at Buffalo Wild Wings.
They think they've beaten us, but yard by yard, we're going to
purchase gift cards totaling $25 or more.
And we will
get a blazing bonus worth up to $100.
Who's with me? Now let's go to
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
No purchase necessary. U.S. residents 18 plus for a limited time while supplies last. Limit 4, void or prohibited. See participating location or buffalowildwings.com for details.
What does it look like to engage the intersection of work, faith, and culture in daily life? A partnership between the Kern Family Foundation and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has opened the door for us to examine this question through the Intersect Project. Intersect offers a hub of robust resources, including free courses, discipleship books, video content, and more to help believers navigate day-to-day topics like vocation and family through the lens of the gospel. Featuring reputable speakers, teachers, and writers on culture and Southeastern's own faculty, we want to create conversation about today's culture. Come and join the conversation at intersectproject.org.
He was known as Storman Norman. The New York Times is reporting General H. Norman Schwarzkopf has died at the age of 78 in Tampa, Florida. He died of complications from a recent bout of pneumonia, according to his sister. He commanded the American-led forces that crushed Iraq in the 1991 Persian Gulf War. Schwarzkopf retired soon after. Iraqi forces say they have taken control of the last ISIS stronghold in Ramadi. Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee tells Fox News' Fox and Friends this is a great step in fighting terrorism.
It's a great, great piece of news for all of us, because the one thing that we have to do to defeat ISIS is take land away from them. It is in their narrative that they have to be able to acquire land, otherwise they don't have a caliphate.
The former Arkansas governor adds that taking land away from ISIS can also help solve the refugee crisis. A spokesman for the Iraqi forces says they took back the government complex and that it's under their complete control. He says this means ISIS now has been defeated in Ramadi. This is USA Radio News.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A dangerous rescue mission is underway to save more than a dozen miners trapped in China. USA's Tammy Rose reports.
In eastern China, state media reports a rescue effort is underway. Rescuers are drilling holes and trying to lower food to 17 miners who have been trapped since Friday. Reports say the mine's owner has killed himself, one miner died, seven have been rescued, and four others escaped. It is not clear what caused the collapse. I'm Tammy Rose.
Personal information of roughly 191 million voters is reportedly being exposed online. Information includes birth dates, home addresses, and phone numbers. The Hill says the data was discovered by some cybersecurity experts and reported to databreaches.net. The reported breach comes after a flap over Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign and the unauthorized accessing of data from rival Hillary Clinton's campaign at the Democratic National Committee. Sanders apologized to Clinton in the most recent Democratic candidates debate. Olympic multiple gold medal winner Michael Phelps is joining the coaching staff at Arizona State University. The swimming great has committed to being an assistant assistant swimming coach at the Tempe campus for at least the next school year. It's bound to be a big plus for Sun Devil swimmers and a big draw for would-be swimmers who are considering the university. And Metalark Lemon, the clown prince of basketball's barnstorming Harlem Globetrotters, has died. He was 83. His blend of hook shots and humor brought joy to millions of fans around the world. No word yet on the cause of death. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Huntington County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back here at Hot and Huntington. Today is December 28th, and I always say every Monday that radio studio time goes faster. It's the fastest hour of the week for me, and usually my most fun hour. And today, I'm lucky enough to be joined on the phone by John Michael Barron, who is my brother-in-law and was kind enough to be able to give up an hour of his time today to be able to talk about the history of the film industry in New Jersey, as well as looking forward to the film industry as a way to create growth and bring jobs and the film industry to once again be a major player in New Jersey. And before the break, Michael was talking about the opportunities that are available to have money come in, and he gave a very real example of what New Jersey could be, such as his home steaks. You are a Southern boy, aren't you, Michael?
Yes, I'm your Southern brother-in-law, that's for sure.
And I hope we'll be having our colored greens and our tradition on New Year's Day, our Southern traditional New Year's Day. And you said that $6 billion is what goes on in Georgia from the film industry as revenue.
That's correct. That's a lot of collard greens.
That sure is. And a few turnips we could throw in there, too, John Michael Barron. And in New Jersey, we know that the Senate just advanced a tax credit bill. And you alluded to earlier how there are a lot of films that are being produced in New York across the river, but it's much more expensive to produce those films. And I'm using the term film very loosely, so bear with me on that. But in New Jersey, the film industry has an opportunity for growth. And this recent bill that was approved in the Senate, that was advanced in the Senate, increases the cap. Right now, there's a $10 million cap on the incentive program, and it increases it to $50 million, and it increases the tax credits that you were discussing earlier from $5 million to $10 million, and it takes the tax incentive up to 22% if the film industry is purchasing most things within the UEZ zone, which would include Patterson, Phillipsburg, Newark, all of these areas where the unemployment numbers are double digits, 10, 11, 12% unemployment. So having film in New Jersey would be great. But I did look on the State of New Jersey website in preparation for our discussion today, Michael, and I was very sad to see when you look at the films that are coming up in New Jersey for 2015, there were only three listed, and it looked like there were about 25 in 2014. So obviously, even with the national tax incentive program and what little we do offer here in New Jersey, obviously with the beautiful scenery and landscaping that's available, we have rural areas, we have urban areas. The film industry is still not producing films here in New Jersey, and we're not taking advantage of the opportunity to bring that revenue in.
That's correct. And part of it is the competition. And the fact is that, you know, you have production facilities in the surrounding area of New Jersey. You have production facilities in Delaware. You have production facilities in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and certainly New York State. Governor Cuomo has done a great job of bringing the film industry to not only just to New York City and into places like Steiner Studios and Silver Cup, which is where they produce a lot of the TV shows like 30 Rock, and Steiner Studios is where they filmed a good number of major productions that are done in that need big studios. It's the biggest studio in the East Coast, area-wise. So when, you know, if they need to move on, then they can go upstate, they can go into other places. But competition is part of it, because the other states have taken the fact that in the last 5 or 6 years, I would say 7 to 10 years, the industry has died a slow death. And I'm looking at the bill here. I believe that's Senate Bill 779. Is that correct?
That is correct, Michael. Yes, it is.
So I'm looking at all the people who are signing on in this. It's a bipartisan group here. You have Republicans as well as Democrats supporting this, and certainly they want to make Bergen County to be seen to be as the area of growth, because they want to require EDA to study the film development of a film studio in the North Jersey location. Now that's been talked about, bannered about the last several months. I've taken the old IZOD building over there at the Meadowlands and making that into a digital green screen studio, because if you take a look at movies like Star Wars, Star Trek, the movie with the movie was up in space where the spacecraft got, I can't think of it right off the bat, but it was up for Academy Award last year. Sandra Bullard was in it. Well, almost 90%, almost every bit of that movie was shot in a green screen studio with sensors put on the actors' chests and faces and all over it, and they were wearing basically a green leotard, and everything was digitized around that. So they need a studio space about the size of a gym, basically, or let's say a football arena, to build and make these movies. And of course, the IZOD would be a great location for that. To give you another example of competition, the recent NBC musicals that are shot and are done live, Sound of Music, Peter Pan, and then The Wiz, just a couple weeks ago. All of that is shot in Long Island in an old aircraft manufacturing place, Grumman Enterprises. And so, they're taking facilities like that, these buildings that were built for one industry or for one purpose, and have been rebuilding them and redeveloping them so that they can be used for the film and television industry. And we have a real good opportunity, not just at the IZOD Center, but I also thought that the Hoffman LaRoche property located right here on Route 3 at Clifton would have made an excellent recording studio, because they have a train rail line going in. There's access on Route 3. There's also access with some of the other road areas that are quite well developed. But they also have already office space available, and they have a large campus area that they could convert into recording studios and such. It would have made a really wonderful recording and maybe even a digital television studio. But they, you know, other powers that be said, no, we're going to make it into a medical college. And so that's what the purpose of it is. But I thought it would make an excellent studio, because both Nutley and Clifton could have easily gotten some great tax credits for that with the production tax credit law that's being battered about.
Absolutely, and perhaps bring in some jobs as well, which is desperately needed here.
Jobs. Let me just throw you some other figures, and I'm using my own home state because it is the largest of all the states in the East Coast that are doing film production. To give you an example, between 2011 and 2015, 5,000 individual technician jobs were opened up in the film industry. The average number of local employees on a medium budget is a range between 150 and 175. Okay, on a larger budget, that can increase to 250. Okay, the average budget is $41.7 million, which is not chump change. That's a fairly decent amount of money. That doesn't include also post-production costs, but the actual production costs. And, of course, the what they call the average amount below the line, which, as I told you, that production line is of accounting goes what they have above the line and below the line. That above the line is the actors and producers and building the sets and getting the film stock and all that and the rights. All that's above the line. Anything below the line is all the tractors and all the manpower that's necessary. Spend up to 60 to 70% of that budget is spent inside the state, which is, definitely fits in the scheme. Now, what my concern is that New Jersey took a law, it could have easily pasted and take a look at the law that Georgia has and just pasted it into the books here in New Jersey. But the fact is, because I think they're trying to appease the governor with the fact, and there's also, it's a budgetary situation, that the tax credits are not as generous as they are in other states. That's another problem. The fact is that they're giving only 20% credits. Some states are giving 50% credits. And so if you're looking at the bottom line here, you've got to ask yourself, okay, I would love to film in Jersey, but if I can get a better deal by 10 or 15% and do it in Pennsylvania or upstate New York, I'm going to go to upstate New York. And that's my only concern with the bill, is the fact is that the credits are not as generous as I think they should be.
And that's
you have to remember that part of the problem with the fact that there's only three movies being shot, another reason why there's only three movies being shot in New Jersey is because prior to 2008, we had at least 10 or 15 shows and productions being shot in New Jersey. We had The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke being shot in around Clifton. We had, of course, The Sopranos. And, of course, we also had Jersey Shore being shot. And I'm going to be real honest with you. The governor, he was not too happy with, Governor Christie was not too happy with the kind of storyline and storytelling with The Sopranos and how it was making Jersey look across the world. Once again, this is a movie about monsters, a TV show about monsters, and hitmen. And that didn't set well with him because he was a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor. And so, and the same thing with Jersey Shore, the life of Snooki and those guys down at Point Pleasant or Seaside Heights. So when he got to be governor, he basically went in and said, okay, we're going to cut this back. I feel embarrassed about seeing this on the TV screen. I don't like to be Jersey story be told like this. So you look at shows that are being produced about New Jersey, Boardwalk Empire, that's shot at Steiner Studios in Brooklyn.
Okay, Mikey.
Law and Order SVU used to be shot both in North Bergen and in Bayonne, along with Oz, the prison drama that was shot a few years ago.
Okay, and I'm going to have to...
All the shows were shot in Bayonne and North Bergen. They all moved across the river. And SVU right now is being shot in Chelsea Studios.
And I'm going to have to break in here because we are at our time limit here and we've got to get to a quick commercial break. And then we have to get over to Ruth Ann Brown Celebration Hour, and we can't be late for that.
So no,
I'm going to thank you, Michael. I'm going to have you come on again because we didn't even really break into it, but we'll post some information about our the pending legislation and how we can make it better here in New Jersey. And please stay tuned for Ruth Ann Brown. Thank you, John Michael Barron.
No problem.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. A grand jury will not indict the Cleveland police officers involved in the Tamir Rice shooting death in 2014. Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Tim McGinty made the announcement.
The grand jury declined to bring criminal charges against Cleveland police officers Timothy Lohman and Frank Garmbeck.